I just come across some information a few days ago. Crazy, crazy. There's somebody, I don't know if it's already in the works or if it's or they're trying to get it passed, some kind of law that you can have so many days off for bereavement if your dog dies. You check it out. It's out there that you can take time off, okay, and grieve the loss of Fido. Help us, Lord. There's a lot of money being spent. You've already know this. This is not the message, but there's a lot of unnecessary money being spent in our government, and our leaders are doing their best to try to. When you send so many $1 million to Iraq over there to learn so they can learn about Sesame Street, there's something wrong somewhere. I mean, really. I mean, and that's what is happened, teaching kids Sesame Street. But anyway, on the educational thing, I know we got educators here, but just what I was, and I'm going to relate this to something in a moment, but $190 billion was spent after the pandemic. Was spent on the post-pandemic for education to make up for the pandemic loss. You know, those years can never be made up. They can't. But and the reading skill since then is less, one third are failing. Then. In reading than they were 30 years ago. My grandma, my grandma Johnson, my mama's mama, they had to walk to school. As a matter of fact, I've got the copy of the Birdsong, a picture of that. If anybody wants to look at it, the Birdsong School, it was right down here. My daddy, I think went there. He's not in the picture. He told. I don't think he had lied to me. He was a little older than them, but he said he dropped out in third grade and he could read and write and do arithmetic just as good as anybody you wanted to see. He could figure it in his minds, in old sawmill mathematics. They could do it in their mind. And who had ever heard they'd let you carry a computer? You know, I can find the answer here. But anyway, I don't want to get hung up on that. I've just been thinking about that. But matter of fact, one man was he was 14 years old and in the second grade and he dropped out and he said, "Why'd you drop out?" He said, "Well, I didn't want to be in the same room with my classroom with my daddy the next year." But they learned more, didn't they? Learn and get you learning. Get you learning. But there's just so much that's been, everything's Bible, everything's church, everybody's going to church, everybody's, it's the popular thing now to be involved with church, and the world had just went, came right into the church. I mean, the world has. If you were to take the world out of all these monstrosity churches or whatever, if you took the world out today, next Sunday, their crowd would be a lot smaller than it is today. You don't bring the world into the church to build a church. You bring people that are willing to turn their faith from the world to God and not you know, entertain. It's entertainment. And it's entertainment. But anyway, let me just read a verse or two. Lord, help us as we come into this message for a moment or two and take partake of Lord your blood and body as a great memorial picture of your blood and your body that was given for us. In Jesus' name, help us, I pray. Amen. Amen. And in Mark chapter 9, and I just want to read one verse, and we'll come back maybe as we end this message. Verse 23, Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." You believe that? Amen. Wow, that's some kind of statement, isn't it? The possibility of the impossible. And it's all based upon belief. Some people have just totally give up. I mean, they've tried to get right. They've tried to win people, and that's what sort of we're talking about today. They're trying to get the message of God to people, and they say, "Well, they're just on their own." No, it's never that way. We've got to keep believing for people. For people, for God, we've got to keep doing that. We can't give up on people and give up on God that says He can do the impossible to help people. There's a few verses. Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." In Mark 9, he said, Jesus said unto them, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." We just read that. In chapter 14, it says, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, what I will, not what I will, but what thou wilt." Now, that's a hard one right there, because there is it seems like Jesus has said something that works sometimes and sometimes it don't. He said, "If it's possible. But take this cup from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done." And that just has to do with the humanity of Jesus. And it has to do with us coming to grips with what is the will of God. And, all things are possible. If you pray anything in my will, you've got it. Believing. And the key word is belief. The key word is belief today. And that's what we want to talk about just for a little bit. What's the basis of one's belief? What is your basis? What is the basis of humanity's belief? I mean, there's all kind of stuff out there. Evolution. I was on a plane with a man that was what do you call them guys that deliver goods? He's not in the Navy. It's a commercial thing. He's carrying goods to places and on ships. I can't remember what you call those guys. Maybe if somebody knows, tell me. Merchant Marines. Well, he was a merchant marine. And so I'm asking, God to help me talk to this man. And we introduced ourselves and he said, "Man, I got some pictures I want to show you." And so that flight was an interesting flight because, he showed me things all over the world. It made me want to be a missionary to the merchant marines and just be out there when they're cruising along, they fish and they get to their destination and they deliver their goods and they do that. And he just showed me all kind of things around the world. And when it was a pause, I said, "Boy, God really, really made a beautiful earth." And he said, "Evolution did it." And that was the storm in our conversation. Because that ended it. He was so cold and so unreceptive. But that's what he believes in. And that's what he believed, that it just happened. And we know better than that. Some people's belief is in their tradition. "Well, I've just always grown up in church and all this and that. I've always went to church, but that's your belief. Just show up." No, there's got to be a place of meeting Jesus Christ and getting saved and born again. But tradition, the Egyptian tradition is so crazy. I'm sorry, but I've been reading some. I've got some literature and stuff on the ancient Egyptians, and they actually, on the west side of the Nile over there around Thebes or somewhere, it was the place that they started burying their pharaohs and their kings. And they would actually, they would cut monuments. They would cut places in the side of cliffs to bury their dead. And of course, they went on and started doing pyramids. And they would put their deceased leaders there, and they would embalm them and all. And I just wondered where the poor folks got buried. You know, you might see some kind of mini looking pyramid, and that's where the poor man, he's in there, and that big one's where the rich man and the king was buried. But what is so just so monotonous and just hard to believe is they would actually embalm those guys and keep them, it would keep them, it would house their spirit and to the next world. And they would actually put physical sustenance, food and things. They would kill their dogs and put their dogs in there with them. And so, and it would have to do with providing for them in the afterlife. My friends, aren't you glad that you believe the truth? You know Jesus Christ, and you believe something to where when you die, your dog don't have to die too. Down in Mexico, they have the Day of the Dead around Halloween, and stay away from Halloween. Most of us already have, we're born with our mask, most guys anyway. You don't need to try to, you just don't cover up what God gives you. But they have the Day of the Dead, and on the Day of the Dead, that day before, they go carry food to the graveyard. And they it's too bad their descendants only get to eat once a year. And they're foolish enough to think that their dead bodies are going to eat that food, and the animals, of course, and eat it. And it might have been some homeless person come through and said, I ain't never ate in a graveyard, but here it is, God. Thank you. I don't know. I don't know. And then there's the tradition, this all kind of tradition on the earth. And then there's atheism, which goes along with evolution. I mean, I know there's theistic evolution, which is stay away from that. I mean, you know, they believe that, and we were talking about this, Peter, last Sunday, that the modern religious theological definition for answer for Genesis is that it to coincide with evolution, that there was billions of years took place, and it's called the day age theory, where there was it wasn't in 1 week and 6 days, but the theory is that it was eons of ages in one day. It was the day age theory, which compensates for the evolutionary process in secular science. And why couldn't God just do it in one day, right? But they believe in their science. And there's another one. You got to believe the science, right? Stay with the science. We just went through that. We just went through. You got to trust the science. I got news for you. I don't trust the science. I trust God. I was in a couple of classes from the University of Alabama when I was in Bible school to make up for some time I lost coming in the first year under probation, not from robbing somebody, but probation because of academics. I had to meet a B average to stay in, and I don't know how I done it. It was God's, all I can say. But I had to make up about 8 hours in the summertime, so I did it down at the University of Alabama in Gadsden on their satellite building class there. And I had a teacher that rode from Birmingham. He ran a museum down there, and he had a long goatee that looks like he had been greased down. And beard, nothing wrong with a beard, but I mean, this guy really needed to wash his beard, you know. So he would come in, and we watched him come in one night, and he had a German Shepherd dog that rode right beside him. Both of them, you know. And that's good, too. He's got his dog. So he'd come into class, and here's what he tried to tell us. By the way, there were two Vietnam vets that were in that class that come in drunk regularly. And I studied. Do you think they studied? You know what the teacher did, the professor? He said, I'm going to do the S-curve. Nobody's going to fail this class. I mean, and it was done too late. I'd done studied, or I'd have done the same thing they did, I guess. But we all made B's. That just ain't fair, is it? So here's what he said. He said this. He said, yeah, Alabama used to be underwater. I said, I agree with that. The whole world used to be underwater. Then he said this. He said, he talked about the billions of year thing. And I said, how do you know? You know, I wasn't trying to be a troublemaker. Any teacher ought to be able to give questions. If they're afraid to give opportunity for questions, they're not qualified to teach. So I interjected that question. How do you know? He said, you just got to have faith. I said, faith in what? He said, faith in the science, you know. I said, my faith's not in the science. My faith's in the Word of God, in the Bible. Amen. So there's your science stuff right there, and I don't want to get hung up on that. But I sure am happy to know that Fauci lost his government-paid bodyguards. He can no longer, he's got to get his own bodyguards, and I'm so happy for that. I mean, I wish him well, right? Amen. I don't want him to get hurt or nothing. Jesus came to his home, folks. Matter of fact, I told y'all last Sunday, I believe it was, about the Tale of Two Cities. I give you a title, and I want to talk about those just for a minute. And in those two times, the Tale of Two Cities, those people, actually, one of the cities was Nazareth, where he was raised. That's his hometown, homebody. I'm sort of a homebody since I was 14. I've been here in this church and gone for Bible school a little while, pastor for a little while. This has always been my home church. So I can relate to knowing everybody and everybody knowing me. That's the way it was at one time, but I don't know everybody out there now. I don't. But we used to just could walk up in somebody's yard. You know, we just playing ball and stuff like that. But Jesus, his hometown was Nazareth, and because they didn't receive him, he went to Capernaum, and Capernaum became his headquarters. What a tragedy to have not been able to let your hometown be your headquarters. He said he's not without honor, save with prophets, not without honor, save in his own country. And Brother Allen always says that don't mean he's not got honor, it's just in his home country he ain't got in his home country he ain't got no honor. And that's the way it was with Jesus. He came into Nazareth, and he actually said, he came there to speak in the synagogue, and they said, this is the carpenter, and here's his brothers and sisters. And James and Jude was his brothers, and both of them wrote books in the Bible, and they were his brothers. At first, they did not believe, but after the crucifixion, brother, and he rose from the dead, that was a convincer. They believed. James became the first pastor of Jerusalem church there, and Jude wrote the book of Jude, and James got his head cut off for preaching and recognizing Jesus Christ. And I don't know what happened to Jude. He said more. Listen, it took Jude. James was long-winded. He had five long points. I think it's five. And Jude just didn't even have a whole chapter. Say, so, give us a Jude preacher. Amen. Amen. The Tale of Two Cities. Now, I just want to read a little bit. We're going to do a little reading, and we won't be long. And just want to sort of go guide through this a little bit. In Luke chapter 4, you can just move around with me in the Bible just a little bit. In Luke chapter 4 and in verse number 16. And he came to Lazarus where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. He stood up to read. And in verse 30, let me tell you what happened in these next verses. He got up and read, and he made the application to the Word of God to himself. He said, I wrote that. This is me. This is the man you've been looking for. And they turned against him, and they took him out on the side of a hill, and they tried to throw him off the cliff, and he walked through the midst of them. If you're God, you can do that. You can do that. And he went through the midst of them, and look, verse 30 said, but he passing through the midst of them, did what? Went his way. You can mark it down, friends, that he's going to go his way. It was too bad to watch. It was too bad. They did not realize who was walking off and leaving them. God can walk off and leave a church, and he will do that if that church don't stay true to the cardinal doctrines of the faith. He'll walk right out the door, and the old saying is, write Ichabod on the door now, change the name, change it to Ichabod, which means the glory hath departed. And that's what happened to Israel, and that's what happened to a church if they don't stay true to the Lord Jesus Christ, the cardinal doctrines of the faith. That's what'll happen. And God forbid that it should ever happen here. Now, look in chapter 13 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, as quickly, you can do that. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, I can get you one. Matthew 13, and we could start reading in 53, but I don't think we'll do that. Let's just take a look in the Word of God. Here we are. I'm in chapter 14. In chapter 13, Matthew, verse 53, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence and was coming to his own country. He taught them in their synagogue, and so much that they were astonished and said, I believe there's two times when Jesus came to his hometown. Two times. And both times they rejected him. Both times they rejected Jesus Christ. I wondered if he come to ball play, how he'd be received. I wonder if he come to Welcome Baptist Church, how would he be received? And he was come to his own country, taught them in the synagogue, and so much that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? They could not deny his works. When you touch a blind man, he can see again. Or when a man had been in a wheelchair all of his life and he can walk. Or somebody dead and he's raised up. You can't deny that something happened. But you got to go further than that. You got to connect the man that's doing it with God. And that's what they had a problem with. They said, how's he doing this? Whence cometh this? Where did he learn these words? How's he doing these miracles? They just couldn't put Jesus with God. And you ain't going to get nowhere with God until you put Jesus right beside God. You're not doing it, friends. You're not going any further. No, you're not. And here's what he said. In 55, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph, Simon, Judas, and his sisters, are they not with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? They were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. Now, I'm not talking about me, but I'm talking about preachers in general. We're preachers, okay? We're not God. We're not Jesus. But we represent him. And when there becomes too much familiarity with a pastor, there begins to be loss of his significance. Do you understand that? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And there used to be a time when people honored and they had respect for pastors. And you do. I don't have any problem here. Because if I did, I'd be looking right at you right now. But I don't have no problem. No problem. So I was down to see Fast Eddie. Eddie Hall, okay? He's got cancer. I tracked him down at the village, okay? So I went to his room, knocked on the door, nobody there, and he lives right beside the exit, and there's a sidewalk that goes out there to this little hut. And there's three or four people sitting out there, and there's a man walking. I saw his truck, and I saw him from behind. I said, that's Eddie. So I went up there and started talking to everybody. And there's one guy that would be praising God one sentence, and the next sentence, using every filthy word that you can possibly imagine. I've been around that kind. I'm not afraid of them. I'm not afraid. I don't have virgin ears, but I'm going to tell you what, I don't like to hear it. I'm not comfortable with it. And I mean, really, really. So anyway, Eddie called me, and the guy knew I was a preacher. I mean, he, you know, Eddie sort of introduced me, and all we're talking. Eddie called me yesterday, the day before, and he said, Roger, I was so embarrassed for this guy. I was so embarrassed for what he was saying. I said, Eddie, I'm not offended. I'm not offended. I mean, offended means, well, I'll just quit, you know. I'll stumble. No, no, I'm hurting for that guy. He's out of his mind. Listen, I didn't know, but there was a woman. There was like four men and a woman sitting there, an older woman. And, you know, and I said hello to her and all of that. I found out, you know who it was? It was his mom. And he was using, he says, he uses that kind of language around her all the time. I'm going to tell you what, I'll take up for mama. If I'm back down there, if it's just, you know, if I'd had a little opportunity and I had to make several visits, but I could have spent some time with that guy and we'd have sparred a little bit because I'm not afraid of that. And they say this, oh, I've heard them say, well, they don't even pay no attention to what I say. Are you crazy? You know what you're saying. You know what's coming out of your mouth. I know there's some people, that their tongue don't seem to identify with their brain, but their brain's wicked. Their heart's wicked. On remote control, what do you call it? What do you call that? Cruise. Good night. Look at this in verse 58. And he did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. There's our word. He did not do many. He did some, but he did not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. Just think, Daniel, if they would have just believed, if they had put God with Jesus and Jesus with God and say, where did he learn all this? Can you know that some of the heretical teachings and theology that deny the supernatural, they say that when they went to Egypt with Jesus as a baby, he stayed there till he's about 5 years old, that he learned tricks from the Egyptian magicians. God, that's theology. That's not theology, but they call it that. They deny the supernatural. They deny that the Jews, the Hebrews went across the Red Sea in deep water. I read this, and when I was at Hope Bluff High School, I come across a book that was talking about theology, and I read that when I was like in 11th grade, and they said that they marched across ankle deep water on the northern side of the Red Sea, and they marched in. Okay, it took more of a miracle. Every angel in heaven had to come down and stick those Egyptian soldiers' face in the water and drown them. That's not the way it happened. The sea opened up. Can you imagine that? They needed to put God with a miracle and Jesus with a miracle. They didn't even say nothing about God. They said, where did he learn this? They just come out of the synagogue. I mean, they just came out where they were reading on the synagogue, where they were reading the Word of God. They couldn't see beyond their nose. My goodness gracious. Because of their own belief. How about Mark chapter 6? In chapter 6, verse 1, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished. This is the same event that we just read about, saying, from whence hath this man these things, and what wisdom is this which is given to him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this, not just the carpenter's son, but he said, is not this the carpenter, the man that just makes yokes and for oxen and whittles them out. He sits around carving on wood. It's an old carpenter. How's this happening? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Jude, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet's not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he couldn't there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk, healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. Now, there's another scripture that I want to read to you if I can find it. I think it's in Mark chapter 4. Now, hold your places. Hold your places. No, it's Luke chapter 4. Luke 4. I know we've been doing a lot of reading, but it's been necessary. Luke 4. We've been using Luke 4 as a basis for this study and these messages. In Luke chapter 4, hold your places in Mark 6. Luke 4. Now, he just left. They tried to throw him off the cliff. In verse 30, it says, but he passing through the midst of them went his way. And he came down to Capernaum, city of Galilee, and talked to them on the Sabbath day. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What are we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. Now let me say something to you. There's just as much as demons on this earth now as there was at Jesus' time or any time in the creation. And there's people that's got demons in them today. Listen, look at what we're just read. And in the synagogue, verse 30, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. There was a man at church that had a demon in him. There was demon possessed at church. It happened. It happens. It does. It's real. They were all amazed. Verse 36, spake among themselves, what a word is this? Woo! God, he said, you know, you got to, they just, what they didn't realize is, you see, that's the word, that he was the word. He was the word of God, the living word of God. For with authority and power, he commanded the unclean spirits to come out of him. The fame went out of him, out of every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered Simon's house. And Simon's mother was taken with a great fever. Simon's wife's mother-in-law was sick. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. You know what ministered means? She started cooking the cornbread. Ministered means to serve. And Jesus had ladies, them ladies that followed them in their evangelical, their evangelism tours, those women ministered to them. And what they did, you can say whatever you want to say, they cooked their meals and washed their clothes while they're out there working. That's a thing of the past, ain't it? He washed his own clothes. You better watch it. It might be an angel you need to be washing clothes for. Might be mistreating an angel. Say, my husband's not an angel. He may be a fallen angel, but he... Now, when the sun was setting, you're talking about all day. They'd done been to church. He'd done healed Simon's mother-in-law. And the day was going fast. When the sun was setting, all that had any sick, the word got out. Hey, Ethel! Hey, you've been having some rheumatism. Hey, uncle, hey, you're blind. Let's get you down here. It's showing up from everywhere. When Jesus does something in somebody's life, other people get word of it. Amen. Hey, like, hey, chick, you are poyito. You got saved. Hey, people, hey, chicky, you know, it showed up, didn't it, chick? It showed up. Now, when the sun was setting, all they had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on them. He laid his hands on them, on every one of them, He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Over there in Nazareth, he healed a few. In Capernaum, he healed everybody that came. You know why? Belief system. The power of believing. And also devils came out of the many cried out saying, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God," and he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. Every one of them got saved. But in Mark chapter 6, verse 5, it says a few sick folk, he healed them. Just a few sick folk, and he healed them. I've asked myself over and over, I'm responsible for me and you too, but I'm definitely responsible for me, but I've just wondered, how strong's my belief? You know, they got scales. Like down in Salta, they had something for me to drink. It's something made out of a bamboo shoot, some kind of Kool-Aid. Let's try this. This is good. But they had a Coke over there too, you know. Some of you guys might have drunk it that went with me. I don't know. There's some things I don't eat, some things I don't drink. It wasn't alcoholic. It was their brand of mixture, grandma's old recipe. And I think I did take a drink of it. And they said, on a scale. And I said, one good, 10 bad. I said, 100. And on pain, they say, how bad does it hurt? 1 to 10. 10 at really bad. I say, 100. I just wonder where my belief scale is. Because it's not good enough for me just to believe Jesus Christ as Savior. Get saved. I've got to live my life believing. But I'm going to tell you something else. I've got to live my life believing for others. And Jesus said, it wasn't because of that person out there that was handicapped or deranged or blind. It wasn't because of them that they didn't get helped. It was because of the people that didn't believe them that God would heal them. Do you understand that there's somebody that you know a lot more than just one that you've got to believe God for? I mean, you've got to believe God for them. In Hebrews, I wasn't going to go there, but I'm going to read. I'm about to close here, but I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 6. And I know that I'm taking a little of this out of context to make the application. But in Hebrews chapter 6, therefore, verse 1, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. And I know I'm not giving the, I can give you the exact interpretation, but this is application. We don't have time for the literal interpretation. This is an application. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let's go on to perfection. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now, in the application that I'm speaking to you about, is here's a person that never gets beyond their salvation experience. They never get beyond that. I mean, they're saved. I'm going to heaven. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But what further is happening? By the way, your belief, this is not talking about others, Ryan. It's talking about you and your testimony. But your belief behaves. You behave according to your belief. An atheist does that. He just gets the most out of life that he can get because he knows it's about to be over with. Your belief, your behavior is connected with your belief. So that's where you're saved, salvation. You're saved and then you're sanctified and you're separated. And well, I go to church and I know I'm saved and I'm there every Sunday and I try to live right, I try to live clean and okay, what did he say? Let us go on. Remember, let us go on. Don't worry. That don't mean you lose your salvation. That don't mean you stop being separated, but that lets you go on. Let us go on to people. Are you going to be satisfied going to heaven and people that you love don't go? Are you going to be happy about that? Surely not. Let us go on. Our belief has got to carry us beyond just our initial experience with God. And we've got to believe for other people. And God helping me, I'm doing the best I can to do that. In Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer You know the story? He said, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved and thy house. They all got saved and baptized, his servants and his wife and his children, whoever else was there. Some of the neighbors even probably got saved and baptized that night. But it don't always happen that way with us. Sometimes, you know, I've been saved since 1971, and there's people right now that I'm worried is going to hell. That I've ever since, and I'm talking with, that's not just in 71 with friends and relatives, but that's on up to this date right now. It goes as far as cousins, children's, friends, that I've got to keep believing for. He said a few sick folk, when it could have been all of them. Capernaum, it was every one of them. All of them, everybody. I mean, the whole crowd. I remember we had a revival here several years ago, and there's 18 people saved and baptized in that revival. We had a three-week revival one time. And I'm not living on past home runs. I'm just saying if God did it then, He can do it again. But you know, 18 people, we baptized. And somebody said, some preacher's wife saw me. And she said, heard some of your church members got saved. And I said, if she wasn't, here's what I wanted to say. Well, if you come over there, you might get saved too. I didn't say that because she was my elder. She's a lot older than me. That's back up. There's a few people still older than me, but not many. So in Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch, you remember that Philip was zapped out of the revival in Antioch or wherever it was. He was zapped out of the revival, and he went down to the desert. God put him at the desert, and there's one chariot coming through the desert. And it was that Ethiopian eunuch, and he was a God-fearer. He wasn't saved. He was a God-fearer. And there's a lot of good people like that. They sure are. Cornelius was like that. A just man. Feared God. Prayed. Gave alms. But he wasn't saved. But this eunuch was traveling along reading Isaiah. He had been to worship at Jerusalem. And he's reading Isaiah, and Philip come up to him, and you know what he said, don't you? Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, I don't have no man to show me. And Philip jumped up in the chariot with him and told him about Jesus. And here's what that eunuch said. What hinders me from being baptized? They were in the desert. Okay? Where's the water? Here's what. And he was baptized. And God, you know them oasis things where the guy's crawling through the sand and he sees a vision. It's not really, he starts eating sand. No, it was the real thing. And he comes up on 29 palms, which is not 29 palms anymore. It's missing a few. But he come up on the water and he was baptized. And here's what the eunuch said. He said, what hinders me to be baptized? And here is what Philip said that needs to be said to everybody before they're baptized. And I'm going to tell you what, you better be careful with pushing little children into a baptismal pool. You better be careful. I'm not going to do it. You know, if they want to be baptized and they come to me and say they got saved, I'll baptize them. But I am not going to push them in the pool. And I'm not going to tell them down here they're saved. I'm not going to tell nobody they're saved because I don't know. But here's what Philip said to the eunuch. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And the eunuch says, I believe with all your heart. Now, we do that, then we've got to go on, like you said in Hebrews chapter 6. We got to let us go on to seeing other people saved and baptized. We've got to do that. How can we live in the luxury of our lives? We want for nothing. I don't know anybody here that's missed a meal. If you have, it's probably because you wanted to or needed to. We live in our luxury. We live in our own little zone. We've got to care for people. I see some people that look like to me, they come right out of a zoo or a horror house or something. I don't know. It don't matter what they look like. They've got a soul. And I've got to get beyond, oh, he looks like one of me, so I can talk to him about the Lord. We need to be talking to them that says, I guarantee you he don't know nothing about, I mean, me and him ain't got nothing in common. No, except for a wicked heart, depraved nature, and a soul that's going to hell if we don't get saved. Ain't that right? That is so right. And in our text in Mark chapter 4, our text is got more than one. Mark chapter 9, and okay, we're going to look into Mark chapter 9. And I'm going to read, I guess, in verse 20. And they brought him unto him. You see that? They brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tarried him, and he fell on the ground, on the foam, and he asked his father, how long is it ago? That's a kid, probably a teenager, a child. He asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. He is born that way. And oftentimes, or he was little when it happened. Oftentimes, it hath cast him into the fire, the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So what does that mean? The impossibility can be possible. Do you believe that? Some of you quit believing. Some believers have quit believing for other people. They say, well, they're in the hands of God. No, they're in your hands too. You got to believe for them. You got to believe for the people that you know that are not saved and not right with God. You cannot stop believing for them. You've got to do that. Do you understand that there's I'm not saying it in a good way, an aura or a disposition or a display of our thoughts when we just go from one person to the next, like me and Kay, Katie Lizard, that's what Ben used to call her when he couldn't say Katie Elizabeth. Hello, Katie Lizard. I'm so people, you know, but you go to somebody else and you just got to, there's a difference. There's a different rapport. There's a different attitude. There's a different conversation. But somebody, some way has got, we've got to get beyond that barrier and say, I need help. We need help. See, it was the daddy too. He said, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us, help us. And Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The possibility of seeing the impossible. And straightway the father child cried out and said, Lord, with tears. How long's the tears been for those people that are dear to your heart? Where's the tears? Where's the tears? You know what? We might as well say we don't believe in hell anymore, because if we did, the tears would come. We might as well say we don't believe in hell. We don't believe people go to hell. Maybe God will give them a second chance. You're wrong about that. You're wrong. After they're dead, it's too late. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying to them, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him. Dumb and deaf. There it is. The boy couldn't talk. And he couldn't speak. And enter no more into him. And the spirit cried out and ran. And there's a bad spirit too. So it came out of him. And he was as one dead, in so much that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the right hand, lifted him up. And he arose, and who was come to the house. Of course, he arose. He took him and said, he's not dead. I've just done something in his life. You got to believe beyond self. We got to believe beyond us four no more. We've got to do that. We've got to do that. We're going to be held responsible. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your attention. And we're going to have a time of invitation. If anybody needs to pray, you can come on and pray. Anything you need to get right with God, if you need to be saved, you can be saved. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you'll have your way in every heart and life that's here today. And wherever the gospel's being preached, I pray you'll be honored and praised in Jesus' name. Amen. You come if you need to pray. You can pray from where you are. We can use this front for an altar, and you can bring your needs to God. Would you do that?